Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure as always. And you're going to be glad you stayed with me because we've got our good buddy Jeffrey Zabar back on the show, as he has been many times, zillions of times in the last several years. Actually, I'm not sure if we've celebrated his 10th anniversary. We've had the 10th anniversary. I don't think we've celebrated it yet, though. I can't remember. But he's been with us more than 10 years. Jeff is the chief home officer. He's the author of a number of books on the topic of micropreneuring, being home-based, teleworking, that sort of thing. And he's our good friend. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show.
You know what? I think we're working on our 11th anniversary. I wasn't big on 10th anniversaries, which was my excuse, and I blew it for my wife. So I said, no, dear, the 11th is the big anniversary.
Yeah, and how'd that work for you?
Well, I'm still in the doghouse, but it's kind of cozy out there.
Well, I'll tell you, yeah, that might work on Blasting Game, but I don't think that's going to work on Mama.
No, Mama Zabar don't appreciate that much. Exactly.
Because we all know, Jeff, when Mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Nobody's happy. And when that 20th roared past, like they say, I love deadlines, especially wishing sound as they fly.
You know, we got to work on your socialization skills here, Jeffrey. We got to. Hey, Jeff, social media is not a fad. It is going to be here for a while and forever,
yep.
Actually. But it is a craze.
Right.
And here's how I define the difference. Websites were not a fad, even when some people were saying that they were, but they were a craze back in the 90s. Today, they're just a tool. They stayed. eBay, 3-4 years ago, every time anybody was talking about anything to do with small business, you couldn't have a conversation without talking about eBay.
Yep.
Well, eBay's not going to go away, but when was the last time anybody even mentioned eBay recently?
Except when I was trying to sell some wheels for my old car, and somebody said, do you know anybody who might want them? He goes, fool, put them on eBay.
Yeah.
As if it's, and he, what he meant was eBay or Craigslist or some other online site, but don't be asking me.
But the point is, though, is that there was nothing sensational about it. It was just another option in the marketplace.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's my point about social media. What we've come to know is social media, which I actually have a little bit of a problem with that term, Jeff. My point is that social media currently is a craze, but the day will come within, I don't know, a year or 3 years, when social media will no longer be a craze,
right.
But it will just be a tool that we will turn to on a regular basis. What do you think?
I agree, and I agree wholeheartedly in the way you're laying that out. Don't you like having a yes man on your show? Yes, Jim, you are 100% right.
I get that a lot, Jeff. Actually,
you get that a lot. Well, you know, it's
well, when
it's
you're
hard
when you're
on the
when you're top. Perfect in every way as I am, you know, that's I get that. Anyway, go ahead.
I must be on the wrong show. Wait, no. Yeah, I agree. I think what's going to change is what is going to be the social media tool that we're going to use in the future. I'm sold on, and I use Twitter. Twitter is that little microblogging service that we use to
that maddening little tool that's pretty damn dadgum deficient, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know mm-hmm. what? It sucks up all our time, and it's
if you let it, it will.
Try and write a good 140-character post the first time. I mean, I usually write 160 characters and have to winnow it down. And
you don't even stop. You get 200 characters before your fingers slow down.
Exactly. And then, whoops, it's just there's that whooshing sound again. But, yeah, I mean, I think part of it is Twitter going to be here in a year or three? Who knows? Is Facebook going to be the tool? Is MySpace? Is LinkedIn?
Facebook is already cannibalizing MySpace.
Yeah. So, but the question
and none of them have made any money yet.
No, and that's the crazy part. That's the crazy part, that, you know, MySpace or, you know, Facebook has ads up on the sides and things like that. But, you know, that's, it's not about that. You know, it's about the, you know, how are they really going to monetize it? They've got the eyeballs, 200 million people or whatever using Facebook, you know, 200 million accounts. And some of those, just so we're clear, it's not necessarily people as much as it is, you know, I could have one for me. I could have one for chief home officer. I could have one for events that I'm putting together. And that's the marketing beauty of social media. But I think that, are those going to be here in a couple of years? Maybe not, but is the concept of social media going to be here in one way or another? Absolutely so.
And here's the thing that's the most important, I think, Jeff. And this is the thing that I've been talking about and writing about, and I'm going to continue to develop these thoughts, and I know you are too. And that is that's the reason why social media is a little bit of a term that I don't like to use that much when I'm talking about businesses doing this.
Right.
Because for one thing, people who are not as tech savvy as you are, business owners, will be turned away by the concept of social media when they need to make sales. And the other thing is that I think that in 2 or 3 years, it'll be clear to everybody, it's not about social media, it's about building communities.
Right.
Because, see, that's all Facebook and MySpace and LinkedIn and Twitter, that's all they are. These are publicly free, available communities, platforms, I should say, where you can build your own communities.
Absolutely.
And so what businesses have to do, Jeff, it seems to me, is start building their own communities outside of, not only inside of those public sites, but outside of them in your own spaces. What do you think?
Well, absolutely, and if I may be so bold, look at what our friend Jim Blassingame has done. Just as an example, and not to toot your horn and inflate the head any more than it already is, but, you know, you have your e-zine that goes out, your electronic newsletter that goes out every Sunday.
That's a community. You've got one, too. That's a community.
Exactly. You have your website that people go to. You have AskJim.biz. You have...
These are all communities, and everybody has those.
But and I think that no matter what you do as an entrepreneur, if you sell if you sell a widget, product, service, or consulting, or whatever to someone or someone's out there, you've got the makings of a community. You don't need Twitter or Facebook or MySpace. Maybe you want to blog. Maybe you want to get that out there. But who knows what blogging is going to be in 2 to 3 years?
That's right.
And what the concept will be. Don't get hooked on the fad. Don't get hooked on the craze.
Right.
Even though you don't want to not be part of it, if it's part of what your community is doing, you don't want to be, I don't Twitter, I think that's kind of silly, but everyone else is.
Hold on to that thought, Jeff. I think the thing to remember, folks, as we go to this break, is it's not either or, it's both and. And we'll explain that a little bit more right after these messages. Jeffrey Zabar is our guest. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. So I don't have to dream alone. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. You got 1 minute. You got, you got 5 seconds. 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. Whatever you got, whatever time you have, whatever's on your mind under the Small Business Sun, we got something there that will help you. You can read or listen to. You can go visit one of our Brain Trust members and see what they've got going on. You can find all that right there at our off of our homepage. You can check out my blog. You can check out my knowledge base. Subscribe to my newsletter. I hope you'll do all those things. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Blassingame. Jeffrey Zabar is our guest. He's at Chief Home Officer on Twitter. And your website, Jeffrey?
www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
So check that out. You can find Jeff's books there, by the way, which if you're home-based or want to be, you got to have Jeff's books. They're essential to your success. Jeffrey, your letter, your newsletter, you got that going out. You got your blog posting that you do.
We have the Twitter's going out. We have a lot of different ways for people to learn and read. And the blogs are pretty recurrent. You know, I mean, and that's part of what social media is it's not like sign up for a Twitter account and then never tweet. It's not like, you know, create a blog blog and then never blog. I mean, part of it is self-serving. You want to serve your community, but you also want, for example, when in blogging, you want the engines to find you so that other people will
right.
find you that way.
Right.
So when they do a Google search, they find you. And so it's not the Ronco of social media, set it and forget it. I mean, you have to go out there and keep active.
Well, if you're gonna, you can't have a community. You can't expect to maintain a community if you don't serve that community, if you don't maintain the relationship with that community. And I want to come back to my either or, not either or, but both and comments, Jeff, because as we continue this, the either or, both and, either or means do I focus all my attention on traditional marketing, or do I switch over and go to social media? But so, folks, that's not the way. You got to do both, because Jeff, we're still in a world where there are parallel universes. Businesses are marketing in the traditional way successfully, and some businesses are marketing in the social media world successfully, and so we've got one foot on the dock, one foot on the boat right now, and so
right.
you got to do both of those, I think. But the main thing that I worry about, Jeffrey, is this term social media, and so that's the reason why for businesses, I'm encouraging businesses to, maybe they don't say it this way because they need to use a vernacular when they're talking to people, but when they're thinking about it, think of it as business networking online, or online business networking rather than social media, because that makes you get more into the business element of it, but you still have to remember that when you're maintaining these communities, when you're building these communities, these people want you to help them more than they want you to sell to them, right?
Absolutely. Sales would be crass in a lot of this, because it's, as we say in journalism, show, don't tell. Don't
mm-hmm.
tell me, you know, the dog ran across the street. Write it out, you know, say
mm-hmm.
in language, you know, the dog made it from one side to the other. Don't say the dog
mm-hmm.
ran across the street, you know, something
mm-hmm.
like that. In social media, in any web-based marketing, except for your sales sheet on your website, it really should be about showing the benefits, not the, you know, not
the value that
the
you
features.
Can, the value you can add to the community.
Exactly. And so I think mm-hmm. that people, you don't go, although many people do, and you'll immediately feel the turnoff factor if
yep.
you go this route. But many people will say, look at my new book, look at my new this. Now, if
yep.
you're giving something away on your site for
mm-hmm.
free, I know there's a gentleman who's run a bunch of Twitter, Facebook, and social media free webinars, and he's
yep.
saying, click here for a free webinar. It takes you right to
right.
his site. That's okay, because something,
yeah.
someone's getting free,
that's serving
free benefit
the
or value.
But Jeffrey, what do we say to the guys who can, and the ladies who can justifiably say, well, that's fine, but I'm in business. I need to sell something. When do I get to sell something? Well, social media is nothing if not patience, right? Successful
Absolutely.
Social media. Remember, we're in the 21st century where people have choices in what they can read and what they can listen to. And they have the ability to turn things on and off at will, and avoid things. And so what they're choosing to find is not so much commercial messages as they are looking for information, for connection. I think that's the magic word, Jeffrey, right there, is connection. In
Absolutely.
These communities, they want you to connect with them. They want to connect with you. And when they connect with you, not only do you get their business, but if you keep doing it right, you can't run them off.
Right. Right. And it's key to stay atop the information that you're providing them and to keep providing that information. Again, it doesn't have to be daily. That's one thing, for example, with Twitter. People send out, you know, 10, 20, 30 tweets a day, and it becomes what we call tweeteria. You don't want
right.
to turn your people off with too much information, but if it's valuable and if they're going to find the value in it and it's inherent, they'll appreciate it, and they'll come back and they'll look to you, they'll turn to you for ongoing information.
You know,
so
Jeffrey,
make sure that you're serving a function and a purpose there.
I'd like to point out a neat little community that I belong to. There's a guy who runs a local farmer's market, and he sends me one email a week telling me what's going on, and I'm part of his little community, and because of that, because I like knowing what he's got going on, it makes me want to, it reminds me, and I go there just about every week, and I spend money with him, and it's a simple little email community.
Right.
It's, there's nothing, and it's social media.
Right.
But it's not. But it's not Facebook. And those are the kinds of things I think Jeff, that social media or business networking online are going to be about in the future.
We're going to see it unfold. You know, we're going to have this conversation a year and say, man, has that evolved? It'll be interesting to watch.
Exactly. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Always great to be
with you. We'll see you next time. Jeffrey Zabar, ladies and gentlemen, ChiefHomeOfficer.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
And to make the darkness bright, only you.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market?
Well, sort of. Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99.
Aflac!
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Since I began broadcasting the show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
This is Arnold Palmer
and Paul Sarvati, CEO of Administaff,
with a timely message for small business owners fighting to stay on course in tough times.
Strategy number 3 of our top 9 HR strategies to beat the odds in 09 is reduce operating expenses. The truth is, economic downturns require tough decisions for business owners that must lower cost. That's when Administaff's buying power and HR support can help the most. We know what works when it comes to compensation, organization, and benefit plan changes that can reduce expenses without deflating your people. Whether you need to lower base pay and add an incentive plan or introduce a lower-cost, high-deductible health plan, Administaff has the answer. To get a free printout of these practical, proven HR strategies, visit Administaff.com and click Top 9.
In times like these, you can let things happen to you or you can make things happen for you. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Hey,
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. And we're going to have some fun here with our good friend Julia Seymour. Julia is Assistant Editor and Analyst for Business and Media Institute. And she's here to talk to us about how's the media doing covering the issues of the day recently. How have they been doing covering these things? Have they been doing a professional job? Have they been doing have they been lobbing softballs or hardballs? Have they been asking the right questions when they should have been asking them? Have they been covering those questions the right way? And she's just the person to do it. Julia, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you again for having me.
It's good to have you back as always, Julia. We got. We got to do this first. This is all over the news. President Obama had his press conference last night. His third one in 3 months. Bush. I understand President Bush did two in the first 4 years. Now, I'll have to say that President Bush didn't do a good job of keeping America informed. One of the areas that he dropped the ball on, in my opinion, was selling his product in the marketplace. He should have done a better job. I used to scream at the White House and say, "Hey guys, you got stuff you could talk about here? Talk about it. Tell the public. Go on in front of the camera. Tell the public about it." They didn't do a good job of that. And I think that's going to wind up hurting his. I know it wound up hurting his performance, and it's going to hurt his legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. There were plenty of things he could have talked about and come out and talked about and tried to affect the news coverage of himself and possibly done a better job communicating with the public. But you also got to know that he was dealing with a hostile media, and it's hard to want to go out there and sell anything when you know any mistake you make is going to be ripped to shreds.
So all those mean people who were hostile to Bush, they're all gone right now, right? Because now we got this new little kumbaya group there in Washington that it's a whole new different group, right? It's not the same people, is it?
No, I mean, aside from people, I mean, there may be individual instances of people having moved into different jobs. We still have a White House press corps.
So you think it's the same people? The same people? Are you saying that the same people who were hostile to Mr. Bush are the ones who were singing Kumbaya with Mr. Obama?
That's exactly right.
Pretty close to the same folks, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and it's certainly all the same news outlets being represented, whether or not a different individual reporter now filling that role.
Well, they interviewed him. You know, the interesting thing about Mr. Obama is, and I think he needs to pay attention to this. He's had now three press conferences in 90 days, and even his media lovers are saying, "Okay, Barack, you got the job. Quit campaigning."
Yeah, and I think that's a valid point. I mean, I have heard that criticism from different types of people and even supporters who are like, "Okay, really, just stop talking and go do your job."
Well, and not only that, but when he answers a question, you know, I remember watching the last news conference, and let me tell you something. Barack Obama is one of the smartest individuals I've ever heard speak. I haven't met him yet. I look forward to meeting him. He's welcome to be on my show anytime, but I admire his intellect a great degree. He and I disagree quite a bit on the issues, but I admire his intellect very much. I admire his sense of humor. I think he's an intellectually honest guy, but even the people who are his detractors, you know, are saying, you know, slow down, answer the question. And move on, but he does a campaign speech after every question.
Yeah, he does. I mean, it's really I can't watch him. It frustrates me too much. You know, I do have to watch him sometimes for work if he's talking about our issues, but it's just ridiculous. And then, I mean, like we were talking about on the break, when reporters are asking questions like Jeff Zeleny of the New York Times did with his what surprised him, he asked
folks,
the president.
Hold on, Gina. I need to set this up for you. Folks,
okay.
Jeff Zeleny of the New York Times stood up. Now, this is without any sense of professional shame at all. Stood up and asked the president this question. Go ahead, Julie.
What surprised him, what enchanted him, troubled him, and humbled him about the first 100 days in office?
Hold on to that thought. The only time I'm enchanted is when Julia Seymour joins me, and it's always an enchanted moment when she's on our show, and she and I will be right back, and we're going to talk about this little softball, and so my question is going to be, would they have asked this kind of a question? I really would love to have heard Jeff ask President Bush that question. He was enchanted by so many things. 2010, stay with us.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
This is Arnold Palmer
and Paul Sarvati, CEO of Administaff,
with a timely message for small business owners fighting to stay on course in tough times.
We've gotten great feedback from business owners about our top 9 HR strategies to beat the odds in 09. So let's look at the strategy that was voted number 1. Focus intensely on profit-generating activities. Outsourcing your HR needs is a surefire way to free up time to focus on actions that lead to growth and profitability. With Administaff handling interruptions like payroll administration, government compliance, and even shopping for benefits, you can invest your time where it really counts, satisfying current clients, selling new accounts, or even negotiating with vendors to improve margins. For a free printout of these proven strategies, go to Administaff.com and click Top 9.
In times like these, you can let things happen to you, or you can make things happen for you. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800.
Hi, folks, this is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get practical answers to your business questions? Go to IBM's Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Ask your question, and it will be answered by email by a member of My Brain Trust. How would you like to improve customer communications or increase employee productivity? Or maybe you need help with marketing, data security, or an accounting system your company can grow with. Are you interested in learning how other companies are using technology and how they've approached small business challenges? An array of articles and customer testimonials, plus IBM's e-newsletter, Forward View, are ready for you at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. And if you're interested in hardware and software solutions, plus current promotions, all of this is available at IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
Aflac for Small Business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Thank you for using it. My blog is there, my knowledge base. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out my my articles that I've written, or the thousands that my brain trust have written that are there on our site. You can listen to any one of thousands of interviews on every topic under the sun that we've conducted with our brain trust members over the years, including, you know, every one we do today will be up on the site real soon, within an hour or so after we go off the air. So I hope you'll check all that out. And at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And also, you can follow me on Twitter at Jim Blassingame. So check that out, too. Julia Seymour is with us. She's a good friend of ours, an assistant editor and analyst for Business and Media Institute. Julia, we were talking about this press conference the president had, and you know, your job is to evaluate the press on their coverage of the issues of the day. That's what you guys do, and to try to keep them honest. And this is such a laughable thing, folks. You gotta go on YouTube or somewhere. If you didn't see this, you gotta go watch this guy. He stood up and said, "Mr. Obama, President Obama, in the first 100 days of your office, what surprised you, what troubled you, what humbled you, and what enchanted you?" I swear, folks, I'm not making this up. He actually asked the President of the United States, with swine flu pandemic emerging, with the economy melting down around the globe, with the government takeover of two of the big three automakers, with the government takeover of 19 of our banking system, with Wall Street collapsing down around our ears, a reporter from the Washington Times, I'm sorry, from the New York Times asked the president what enchanted him about being in office. Julia, do I live in bizarro world or what's going on?
Crazy. I mean, that's not even a softball question. That's a wiffle ball.
I just said, all I said was gag me with a spoon. You know, I know. That's so nauseating. What kind of professionalism could this guy possibly hope to ever have, any professional regard in the future? I was embarrassed, frankly.
It really is embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the journalistic profession when a reporter is seemingly so in awe of the president as to ask that stupid of a question.
And you know what? To Mr. Obama's credit.
Uh-huh.
He kind of made a little joke about it. He said, "Wait a minute, I got to write this down." And he actually started. I mean, you could tell. I actually think it embarrassed President Obama. So I'm going to give him some marks for that.
I hope it did, because it should have. He should realize that they are fawning over him, and that's what I've seen since he took office in January. Is that on every major issue that, you know, particularly the ones that BMI looks at, whether it be his stimulus bill, his budget, or anything else, they carry water for him.
Now I want to mix up one thing real clear, folks. The people who are on the hot seat right now are the press, not Mr. Obama, because I'll tell you,
absolutely,
Julia, they didn't ask him one serious question about the economy. They didn't. I don't think they asked him one question about the pandemic. But here's the thing. He would have been ready for them.
Yeah.
He was prepared. They would have, if they had asked him any of those questions, I promise you, I'm going to lay a bet on the table right now. President Obama would rather this guy had asked him a hard question about the economy and the government involvement in the economy rather than this enchanted question. I'm convinced that he would have rather had that question.
Well, you know what? You're probably right, because the only thing people are going to remember from watching this press conference is the guy who asked him what enchanted him about the first 100 days. No one is going to remember.
And that's not good for him. That's not good for him. That's not good for his support.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you something. And newspapers wonder why people aren't buying newspapers.
Maybe this has something to do with the New York Times circulation problem.
Yeah, basically that whole group is about to go under. But anyway, that's just one of the issues, folks. What about this coverage of the swine flu thing? I'm a little troubled that they're actually starting to call it a pandemic. I'm not a CDC expert. I don't know about swine flu, but it seems to me that we've got one death now, and I'm so sorry about that. We got very few people in the hospital in America. How can that be a pandemic?
Well, you're right. It's not a pandemic yet. Even with the World Health Organization raising the alert level to a 5 yesterday, that does not mean we're at a pandemic.
But more and more of the media are saying that it is. They're using that word.
Absolutely. They've been using that word since late last week when they started talking about the quote unquote swine flu.
See, they went from could it be a pandemic? They started dropping those things off, and then I actually heard somebody on Monday or Tuesday. I actually heard in one of the reputable networks. I actually heard someone say it as if it were a pandemic.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure that they're saying it because, unfortunately, the coverage, there is so much of it. I mean, it was basically 24/7 coverage of this story until the Arlen Specter announcement, which sort of interrupted things, and then the Obama 100 Days mark interrupted them some more. But, I mean, it was nonstop coverage for a few days. So to have people saying that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I heard the science correspondent for NBC saying that the government didn't, quote, want people to panic. But then he says, but it appears to be an outbreak unlike anything we've seen in our lifetime.
Holy mackerel.
Oh, panic. Yeah. You say the word panic and people panic.
That's right.
Stop listening after you use that word.
Hold on to that thought, Julie. We've got to take a quick break. We're not going to panic, folks. We're going to take a break. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business, you dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
This is Arnold Palmer.
And Paul Sarvati, CEO of Administaff.
With a timely message for small business owners fighting to stay on course in tough times.
Strategy number 2 of our top 9 HR strategies to beat the odds in 09 is capitalize on new opportunities. The silver lining in a stormy economic climate is all the new opportunities that appear in the marketplace. Whether buying out a weakened competitor or adding a new line of products or services, Administaff's comprehensive employment services provide an instant infrastructure to help you act quickly and decisively. Administaff can play a key role in evaluating and integrating acquisitions or adding key employees to lead new initiatives. Go to Administaff.com and click Top 9 for a free printout of these proven strategies to turn economic obstacles into financial opportunities.
In times like these, you can let things happen to you or you can make things happen for you. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want. And it damages their reputation in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit ibm.com/businesscenter/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
Aflac for Small Business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market?
Well, sort of. Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99.
Little Eric bringing us back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Julia Seymour, assistant editor and analyst for the Business and Media Institute, BMI.org, right, Julia?
It's actually businessmedia.org, so just bring up business and media.
Business and media.
.org.
Okay, and that's A-N-D spelled out, right?
Yes.
Business and media.
Might, right?
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you do it.
I was going to check and see if BMI.org takes you to the same place, but it doesn't. So.
Okay, yeah, all right. Businessandmedia.org, so check that out, folks. Don't say what I said before. Say that, do that one I just gave you. Are you guys on Twitter?
Not the organization, but a lot of us are individually on Twitter.
Are you on Twitter individually?
I am on Twitter.
What is it at? At what?
Is at Biz, B-I-Z, Media, Julia.
All right.
And our director, Dan Gaynor, is also on, at
yep.
Dan Gaynor.
We know Dan? Well, good. So you guys are hip then. You're hip.
We are. We're technologically with it until the next fad comes along.
What else has the media been working on that is worthy of our disdain?
Well, the swine flu stuff was pretty bad, and unfortunately that wasn't just hype, but it was unanswered questions, which
yeah.
you know, goes back to the point that you were making, that they're not asking intelligent questions.
Right.
And in the case of swine flu, they weren't bothering to explain President Bush's role in preparing us to be okay if
mm-hmm.
there's a pandemic flu, which, of course, there is not a pandemic flu right now. There is a flu.
We hope, and we pray that there's not, and we hope
exactly.
that there's not. But even if there is, they won't be able to come back and say, see, we told you so. You know, the English language has thousands of words. We have a million different ways we can put an idea and a thought together. You know, we actually have the ability to granulate the way things are presented in the form of words, in the form of spoken and written words. Why don't they use those, Julia?
I don't know. I don't know why they have trouble with those word things.
It's the 24/7 news cycle. That's the problem.
It is. It really is a problem because they have to fill time. And in order
mm-hmm.
to do that, they run out of news and they fill it with sensationalism or hype or
reading. I've actually heard them admit that.
Oh, yeah. Some of them will. Absolutely. And I'll give them all. Everyone who admits the 24/7 news cycle is a problem gets credit for speaking the truth.
Right.
Let's see. What else have they been up to? We had a story out last week about the legalization of pot as a possible answer to the bad economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's right around 4/20, April 20th, the media were talking a lot about that and not really... considering the criticism that this would barely be a drop in the bucket if it actually makes any difference whatsoever, and other experts say that you can't just not consider the social costs of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean there's been a lot going on, and certainly you know.
Well, if you know one thing about the legalization of pot, mm-hmm. and people will say, well, you know, liquor is legal. Well, but people can't grow their own liquor in a flower pot.
Right.
I mean, somebody's got to buy the liquor. It's a manufactured product. Pot is something. Marijuana is something that people could grow in their flower boxes under a heat lamp, and people would could walk around stoned all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you have. I mean, we have. You're right, alcohol is legal in our country, and we still have problems with people driving under the influence,
yep.
and, you know, car accidents and all that. And if people, I mean, you take the same populace and legalize marijuana, what kind
yep.
of impact is that going to have? Are
mm-hmm.
people going to be driving while stoned? Are we going to have a
right.
rash of car
of course
accidents
they will.
Caused by that?
Yeah.
That is a logical conclusion of legalizing this. So to say we need to legalize it and tax it, well, you know, making something legal just to tax it, I don't think is ever a good idea.
But that's something, you know, that's something that the politicians are going to get excited about. Because
right.
they're wanting to tax
they
they're wanting to tax the carbon that comes out of your mouth, Julia. They want to tax one half of the photosynthesis process, carbon dioxide.
You're right. You're exactly right. And I read your column, and I thought it was exactly on the money.
The one about cap and trade. Yeah, I column, folks, I wrote it on my blog, or you can get it, you know, in my newsletter, or whatever. But yeah, that's. They want to tax that, because so then it doesn't become an issue whether it's the right thing to do, but whether we can actually get some revenue off of it.
Absolutely, because that's what the government lives to do, is take
yeah.
more money from,
yeah.
because it can't create money, so it has to steal it.
Do you think there's going to be a revolution, Julia?
You mean against all of the new taxes?
A peaceful revolution, yeah.
A peaceful revolution. It could happen. I mean,
I think there will be.
Good.
I think there will. I think there will have to be, because they're not going to leave quietly, the government, our marketplace, I mean. Hey, Julia, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us. But for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity. A problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
This is the Global American Network.
IRN USA Radio News. I'm Greg Moore. President Obama standing by his decision to stop the use of enhanced interrogation techniques against terror suspects. During a news conference last night at the White House, the president called waterboarding, quote, torture, and said it violates American values. Obama said maintaining the nation's core values will make the U.S. stronger and safer in the long run. The House votes today on the so-called Credit Card Holders Bill of Rights. Among other things, the bill will put an end to arbitrary increases in interest rates. Lenders will only be allowed to bump rates if a cardholder is more than 30 days late with a payment, if the cardholder signed up during a promotion, or if the card was originally set up with a variable rate. The future of Chrysler is on the line. The Wall Street Journal says talks between the Treasury Department and lenders have broken down. Chrysler has a midnight deadline tonight to come up with a viable restructuring plan. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Are you losing your home to foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage and fear the worst? The law firm of Pomery & Associates would like to offer you a free, no-obligation consultation that will show you how to stop foreclosure, reduce your interest rates, and save thousands on your mortgage. Do not let this economic slowdown take your home from you and your family. You have worked too hard. Pomery & Associates is an attorney-based loan modification firm that can negotiate the terms of your mortgage so you can afford to live in and enjoy your home. Call for a free, no-obligation consultation. There is no cost to find out how this program can help you save your home. Call 800-604-8525. That's 800-604-8525. It does not matter how far behind you are on payment or what your credit score is. Pomery & Associates is here to listen and help. Call now, 800-604-8525, 800-604-8525.
The World Health Organization has raised its swine flu pandemic threat level to Phase 5, warning a global outbreak of the disease is imminent. Phase 5 is the second highest warning level utilized by the World Health Organization. Dr. Margaret Chan, the Director General of the organization, told the news conference in Geneva, Switzerland, that no nation is immune.
Influenza pandemics must be taken seriously precisely because of their capacity to spread rapidly to every country in the world.
Chan praised the nations taking the lead in fighting the illness, including the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. On a separate note, the World Health Organization has drastically revised downward the Mexican death toll from swine flu. Earlier reports indicated about 150 people died in Mexico of the disease, but the World Health Organization says there are only 7 proven fatalities south of the border. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
You could be financially independent and never have to worry about money again. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby speaking for the 3-Step Plan. The 3-Step Plan is a business system designed to help families start their own home-based business. If you like working with people with similar family values, you'll love the 3-Step Plan. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-879-5819. 800-879-5819.
In Texas, a convicted killer is set to die by lethal injection tonight. Correspondent Amber Brown has the story.
Texas Department of Criminal Justice spokesman Jason Clark says Derek Johnson is scheduled to die by a lethal injection for the January 1999 murder of a 25-year-old woman in Dallas.
Johnson and a co-defendant were responsible for the killing of Latasha Curry. Johnson and the co-defendant beat Curry in the head with a board and then suffocated her with the shirt.
Johnson confessed to police and told them where to find the victim. Body. DNA evidence also linked him to the crime. If his execution is carried out, Johnson would be the 14th person executed in Texas this year. Amber Brown, Dallas.
About 30 detainees have been cleared for release from Guantanamo Bay. That's according to Attorney General Eric Holder. Correspondent Kate Moody reports.
During a trip that included stops in London, Prague, and Berlin, Eric Holder has privately asked European officials about taking in former Guantanamo inmates. And he said America's allies should expect a formal request in the coming weeks, adding that closing the detention center is a shared responsibility for the U.S. and Europe. Holder said Washington would provide each country it approached with information about the detainees, so each government can make an informed decision about accepting any of the 30 men who are set to be released. France, Portugal, and Sweden are among the countries that have confirmed they'll consider accepting custody of detainees once they're released from the Cuban base.
I'm Greg Moore. That's news from the Information Radio.
Son, we got to talk about drinking.
I know.
I don't want you touching alcohol till you're old enough.
Yeah, I know, Dad. It's not a big deal.
Don't yeah, I know me, okay? And it is a big deal. Underage drinking is just stupid.
Yeah, well, why'd you do it?
Look, I did it because we didn't know what we know now. Alcohol affects kids differently, okay? When kids drink, it's more dangerous. And you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
Look, son, I'm trying to help. I've seen what it does. I mean, you may think you can handle it, but when you drink, it screws up your judgment. Listen to me. This is real.
I know.
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens. Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show, brought to you by IBM. Solutions designed and built for small business. By Administaff. Administaff is good for small business. And by Aflac. Ask about it at work. And now, the man who creates and distributes more multimedia small business information than any other human on the planet.
With classified information like this, I demand the cone of silence.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, thank you very much for doing that. That's really important. That's an important thing for you to do today. Yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Wherever you are, we don't care if you're in North America or around the world, listening on the radio or on the Internet. Some of you may be picking it up over subspace frequency while you're waiting for the mothership to bring you back. If the mothership doesn't come real soon, go ahead and take your meds. Get back on your meds and wait a little while longer. Hey, we got some important stuff coming up for you this hour. We got Joan Pride back on the show. Joan's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And as you know, every week we take a few moments to talk about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. They always do a great job of covering the critical issues, especially the business issues that are going on out there and have been now. They've been doing this now for over 85 years, coming up on their 86th year of service. This is a small family business, They're not tiny. They're not little. They're not as little as my organization. They're bigger than that, but they're still a small business, fully qualifying as a small business, family owned, and really kind of I admire them. I admire the work that they do there, the way that family still continues to run now in third generation of management. So that's a great American success story. One of the things we're going to talk about today with Joan is taxes. How are taxes, what's happening in the debate on taxes? How much are you and I going to be spending in the future? Are our taxes going to be going up? I'll give you a little hint. Yes. And we'll be talking about some other things that are on our mind, and that's coming up right after the next break. It's almost 9 after. Here's the Atlanta Rhythm Section with one of their best songs, Doraville, to take us out. It's one of my favorites. Let's have some fun today. Stay with us.
Friends of mine say I'll move to New York. New York's fine.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearson, a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
This is Arnold Palmer
and Paul Sarvati, CEO of Administaff,
with a timely message for small business owners fighting to stay on course in tough times.
Strategy number 3 of our top 9 HR strategies to beat the odds in 09 is reduce operating expenses. The truth is, economic downturns require tough decisions for business owners that must lower cost. That's when Administaff's buying power and HR support can help the most. We know what works when it comes to compensation, organization, and benefit plan changes that can reduce expenses without deflating your people. Whether you need to lower base pay and add an incentive plan or introduce a lower-cost, high-deductible health plan, Administaff has the answer. To get a free printout of these practical, proven HR strategies, visit Administaff.com and click Top 9.
In times like these, you can let things happen to you, or you can make things happen for you. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800.
Hi, folks, this is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get practical answers to your business questions? Go to IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/smallbusiness. Ask your question, and it will be answered by email by a member of my Brain Trust. How would you like to improve customer communications or increase employee productivity? Or maybe you need help with marketing, data security, or an accounting system your company can grow with. Are you interested in learning how other companies are using technology and how they've approached small business challenges? An array of articles and customer testimonials, plus IBM's e-newsletter, Forward View, are ready for you at ibm.com/businesscenter/smallbusiness. And if you're interested in hardware and software solutions, plus current promotions, all of this is available at IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/smallbusiness. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you stayed with me, too, because our good friend Joan Pride is with us. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she just can't wait to be back on the show to visit with me and to talk to you. Right, Joan?
You just make sure you get that name right now.
Yeah, June.
Yeah, you didn't think I was going to let you get away with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. See, this is where you say, you can call me June,
right.
You can call me Joan,
oh,
but she doesn't
geez.
Have to call me Johnny. Remember that guy?
Yes, I remember that guy. You keep asking me that.
I can do the whole routine if you like.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Hey, folks, if we can't have fun, let's just forget about it. Right, Joan?
Right.
Hey, Joan, we're going to talk about the letter in a second, but there's some breaking news that we've got to talk about.
Oh, boy.
And as you know, President Obama had his third press conference in 90 days. Now, Joan, President Bush really dropped the ball, in my opinion, in by not having enough press conferences
and
by not selling.
President Clinton wasn't much better, I have to
say. No, I agree with you. And, but President Obama is, I think, is he trying to make up for all the lost? Is there like a quota, a quota for presidents that he's trying to you know, pick up the slack or something? Even his droolers are saying, you know, hey Barack, you got the job, quit campaigning. But seriously, he's had three, and I have to say that with all the challenges we have, it's probably he thinks it's the right thing to do, and I can't argue with that. But last night he had a question that I wanted to talk about, and that is from a guy named Jeff Zeleny, who will forever now be branded as the ultimate metrosexual reporter from the New York Times, which doesn't surprise me at all. He asked him this question, Joan, and you saw it. He said, "Mr. President, in the first 100 days of office, what surprised you, what troubled you, what humbled you, and wait for it, what enchanted you?"
The most,
Joan,
I guess.
You're a folks, I'm merely a talk show host. Joan Pride, and I mean this seriously, is a professional journalist. Joan, as a professional journalist, and I mean that with all the respect and admiration that is due you, were you not embarrassed and ashamed of that question?
Well, I guess the way to put this is it's something I would have expected from a television journalist.
Or a talk show host, maybe.
A radio talk show host, right.
You can see me asking him that question,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No. I couldn't believe it. He even wrote it down. He said, I was reading an account of the, a review of the press conference earlier this morning, and the reviewer said, with perfect comedic timing, he said something like, now, wait a minute. Let me get those down.
He did
write them down.
He made a joke of it. I'll tell you, this is that what he just did. What President Obama did when that guy asked him that question was what any red-blooded man would do, and that was to be embarrassed, to try to make as much of it out of his as he could, to try not to embarrass the questioner, but also to not let the audience think he took that seriously.
Right.
And so,
yeah,
and that
he really kind of straddled that very, very well.
He did it outstanding. I was very impressed.
And I couldn't wait to hear what he would answer on the enchantingly part, and I was very surprised.
What did he say?
Pleased. I think if I remember correctly, well, he said he wouldn't use the word, I think he really was basically saying he couldn't think of anything for enchanted, but he did talk about the folks in the military that he had met, that he has so much respect for, and the job they do. So he really twisted that question. He took it and used it to his advantage.
As much as I disagree with so much of the policies and the way President Obama looks at solving problems, he and I are very much different in that way. As much as I've always said, Joan, you know, I've always given him high marks for his intelligence, for his intellectual honesty, and I've always said I'd like to. You know, he's the kind of guy I'd like to have a beer with. Well, when he said, wait a minute, let me write that down. I said, you know what, I'm buying. When we have that beer,
you're buying.
I thought that was
his credit card.
I was so impressed with him. But let me throw him another little warm fuzzy here, Joan. They didn't ask him one question, serious question at least, about the economy, or one question about swine flu. The truth is,
I think the first question was about swine flu.
Was it? I must have missed that
one.
But here's the thing, Joan, is I promise you, if right now you said to Mr. Obama, President Obama, would you rather have the enchanted question or the hardest question in the world about the economy? Barack Obama would have said, give me the economy question.
Oh, he would love, yes, I agree with you.
He would not have wanted to be, and he had and he had no choice but to see what he did when he said, let me write this down. That was a defense mechanism. That was telling all the guys out there, hey, guys, I'm really not a metrosexual.
And it also gave him a couple of minutes to kind of collect his thoughts, too.
But, it was funny. Boy, I mean, one thing about Barack Obama, if he has an opportunity to make a joke, to be witty, he does it, and he does it well.
Comedic timing. You got to give him that.
I certainly do. Anyway, it was... Folks, if you haven't seen this, you got to go see this. It'll probably be on YouTube.
It has
to
be. It was probably
you
got to
go see this.
After.
This is and this guy Zeleny, he deserves all the ridicule that, I mean, who came up with that? Do you think his I mean, who came up with that question? Enchanted.
Oh, I'd love to know.
What? I don't even know any professional female journalist that would use that word.
I don't know what they were thinking.
And you know, Joan, and I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that's not the kind of thing that will help get the New York Times out of the basement financially.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean? Does that make you want to run out and buy their paper?
Well, I don't know.
Of course, you love the New York Times.
Well, yeah.
You love them.
I mean, one bad question isn't going to sour me on the New York Times.
But Joan, it's one more example. Is what it is.
Well, whatever. But the way I look at it is, you have one chance to ask the president a question.
Can you believe that?
And for example, there was a woman who asked a very good question about immigration, and I was marveling at her because she was someone I had never seen before. She wasn't a television journalist. She was someone, you know, she was completely unknown, and she stood there and she was articulate. I would have been a babbling idiot, I'm sure, had I been called.
Joan, you know, I'm just noticing something. I'm just recalling something. Whenever George Bush had press conferences, I don't remember you cataloging them the way you did this one somehow. You know, I wonder what's wrong with that picture, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, right back with Joan Pryde. I told you we'd have fun when Joan joined us. Stay with us, 20 after.
Turn around and see you in a crowded place. What's with the emotions on the God?
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
This is Arnold Palmer
and Paul Sarvati, CEO of Administaff,
with a timely message for small business owners fighting to stay on course in tough times.
We've gotten great feedback from business owners about our top 9 HR strategies to beat the odds in 2009. So let's look at the strategy that was voted number 1. Focus intensely on profit-generating activities. Outsourcing your HR needs is a surefire way to free up time to focus on actions that lead to growth and profitability. With Administaff handling interruptions like payroll administration, government compliance, and even shopping for benefits, you can invest your time where it really counts, satisfying current clients, selling new accounts, or even negotiating with vendors to improve margins. For a free printout of these proven strategies, go to Administaff.com and click Top 9.
In times like these, you can let things happen to you, or you can make things happen for you. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want, and it damages their reputation in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit ibm.com/businesscenter/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that?
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
Give me a jacket for your friend.
little Joe Cocker bringing us back. That's a madman from England. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Joan Pryde. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And write me a letter. Do what Joe says. Write me a letter. Comment on my blog if you want to. Check it out. You can find it right off the homepage. Subscribe to my free newsletter, which you can find there as well. You can comment on that too. That comes to you every Sunday afternoon by email. You can subscribe to the blog too. We'll send that to you. We'll follow you home. If you don't want to keep coming back, we'll follow you right home and keep delivering things to you from the website, from the newsletter, from the blog. My knowledge base is there. If you got 30 seconds, you got 5 seconds, you got 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something that will help you. You can listen to or read. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter as well, at Jim Blassingame. So check that out. Joan Pryde is our guest. Joan, are you on Twitter?
What? I keep asking what that is, and you won't tell me.
We'll talk. Joan Pryde, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, ladies and gentlemen. She's one of the hip members of the journalism profession, right, Joan?
Oh yeah, that's me.
Yep. Hey, Joan, I want you to read the first line of the letter this week because I don't want people to think I'm editorializing. Go ahead.
Think taxes are too high now? Just wait.
See, even Kiplinger says this, they're going to be too
okay.
high.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's the news, Joan? Taxes are going to smack firms and individuals, you say?
Yeah, we don't just say they're going to smack them.
Yeah, I like that. Did your mother ever say that? If you don't shut up, I'm going to smack you.
I guess the standard that the president has set was couples making more than $250,000 a year and singles making more than $200,000 a year.
Yeah.
And in the first round of tax cuts, I think that's going to be pretty much true, that the tax cuts will only hit those people. But we're saying in later rounds to come, and we don't know how this is going to play out, but in later rounds to come, given all of his priorities and the things he wants to do, we don't see how he can make the numbers work unless he also raises taxes on people below those levels.
Yeah, and you said tax cuts, but you didn't mean tax cuts.
No, sorry, I meant tax increases.
You meant tax increases,
sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, we knew what you meant, but the thing is that's exactly right, and I just want to remind people that $250,000, ladies and gentlemen, is in a small business, is not $250,000 in cash laying around. $250,000 includes the income from both spouses, and the income from the sub S corporation or the LLC corporation, or the LLC, I should say, that the company, their small business, provides, and that income drops right down to them, and whatever income comes from the company that has to be taxed at this new rate. Is not available in cash, Joan. It's in receivables and inventory and in the workings of the company, in the working capital of the company. So
right.
it's possible that a small business, Joan, it's quite possible a successful small business could have say $125,000 worth of W-2 income and $125,000 worth of corporate income, but yet they'd have to pay taxes as if they had $250,000 of W-2 income. So it's going to hurt small businesses.
Right.
And let's move on, Joan. The rising to the top list is going to be individuals or boosted. They're going to boost the marginal rates to what, Joan?
Well, and before I continue, I just want so the people don't get too frightened here. And this is the question we get most often: is this happening this year? And the answer is no.
When's it going to happen?
So what? Pardon me.
When is it going to happen?
Well, what's going to happen is basically this is the question is whether the Bush tax cuts will be allowed to expire, and what Obama is proposing, and we think the Democratic Congress will agree with him on, is letting the Bush tax cuts expire for people making more than those amounts that we talked about earlier. And the Bush tax cuts expire at the end of 2010.
Yeah, next year.
There's a lot of fear that the increase that would come in 2011 is going to be speeded up. But as far as we know now, that we don't see anything like that. But in answer to your question, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, in answer to your question, what's going to happen in 2011, the top marginal income tax rates, which are now 33% and 35%, we believe will go to 36% and 39.6%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Joan, I'd like to point out one thing, folks, that's a marker of our government, of our Congress, of the political class. When they raise taxes, when they institute a regulation, it goes on the books in perpetuity. But when they cut something out, they always give it a sunset date, it seems, Joan, because when they cut the only way that they would allow one part of our government would allow the Bush tax cuts, as you call them, back a few years ago, was if there was a day when those tax cuts would go away. They gave them a sunset date, which is 2010.
You know why that is.
Tell us why.
Well, it's something called the out years, which I've never understood. It sounds like a movie title, but it's not.
Right.
It has to do with the way you work the budget numbers.
But my point, Joan, is they don't have any out year concern for tax increases. They don't have any
concerns for regulations. Well, you wouldn't, because that's
money coming in the door. Yeah, that's exactly right. But I know I've talked about this before, but the most egregious of all this, folks, is the estate tax, which goes to zero next year, but then on January 1, 2011, it comes back as if it had never been changed. Now, they passed that law, folks, without any sense of shame or anyway, stand by. Here we go.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.